Thanks. All right. This morning we are still in our series on the Sabbath. We have today and two more weeks, I think. This morning we're talking about Sabbath as resistance, taking a Sabbath as an act of resistance against the dominant culture around how Sabbath is countercultural. And to do that, I want to look at the Sabbath command that we heard in Exodus the first week of this, but then look at it in context of the rest of the Ten Commandments that it's surrounded by. So that's in Exodus 20. I'm going to read most of those, and then I'll have a little jump to some words of Jesus as well. Before we do that, let's pray. Loving God, we ask you to open your word to us this morning. We ask you to open our hearts and minds to hear you. Calm us, steady us, and guide us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 20. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is Sabbath to the Lord your God, and you shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughters, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You should not murder, you should not commit adultery, you should not steal, you should not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Now these words of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May the Lord grant us hearts and minds to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I've been thinking a lot over the past few weeks about how difficult it is to think about taking a day off, to think about taking a Sabbath, to really rest for one day. And I've talked to a lot of people and read people's Facebook posts who've been thinking about this. And it's difficult. It's hard for people. It is counterculture. It's against kind of everything that's going on around us. And I was actually reminded of this image that I saw about Advent time last year. And it's an image of a 5K race. And it's a 5K race where everybody dresses like Santa Claus. So there's all these Santas running in the 5K. But in this image, right in the middle of the picture, there's a guy in a loincloth with a cross. And he's running along with all the Santas, right? And so, of course, you know, this is the put Christ back into Christmas kind of plea from this guy running along. But the image, to me, stuck in my mind about how hard it is for us to be a people of the Sabbath in a world that's racing by us, right? Because it's easy to just get caught up in the race and run along with everybody else. But in a sense, we are called maybe not to put a loincloth on and stand there in a cross, but we are called to be different, to be a people who are able to take time out and to rest. And I think this call to be different, this call to resist the race that's going on, you can hear it right from the beginning of the Ten Commandments in Exodus. For God starts out speaking by saying that I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Right at the beginning of those of the Ten Commandments is this opposition between this land of Egypt, the God of Pharaoh, and the God that made the people slaves, and this God that is merciful, hears their cry and brings them out. Right from the beginning, there's this opposition set up. And God says, I am the God that you should be following and listening to, and turn away from those gods over there. And when we think about the story of the people in Egypt and what it was like for them, then the Sabbath command becomes this even more incredible command. Because if you look back to Exodus 5, you get this picture of what it was like for these people as slaves in Egypt, where what Pharaoh and his gods decided was their fate. In chapter 5 of Exodus, Moses comes to Pharaoh and says, I want to take the people out for a festival so that we can worship our God. We want to go out and worship. And Pharaoh says, what about the bricks? You guys got a quota of bricks to fill. And every day we need so many bricks, you're not going anywhere because the bricks got to get done. And in fact, because you come here and bother me about this, I'm going to take away part of the stuff you use to make the bricks, and you got to make the same amount of bricks. So every day, bricks, bricks, bricks. The same amount of bricks, you got to make these bricks. I don't know about you, but I don't have to make bricks. But there are things in our lives that are the bricks, right? There's the quotas, there's the pressure, there's the thing that we have to live up to, right? We have to be so good. We have to do this thing. We have to provide this for ourselves. We have to provide this for our kids. We have to do this, the bricks, right? There's all these bricks in our lives. But the God of the Ten Commandments says, I want you to take a rest. I know that you're used to this world where it's all just pressure and relentless and restless and anxious and always about getting the amount of bricks done so that you can go to sleep and do the same thing over again the next day and over again. But no, in my world, there is a day where you take a rest, where you stop and remember that I am the God that hears your cry. I'm the God that saves you. I am the God that created all that is around you. All this stuff you're using to make the bricks, I made it. All this stuff that anything that is around you, I made it. It's mine. And what I want you to do is take a rest and remember who's in control. Remember that I am your God. You are my people. Rest. It's not about the bricks. It's about the worship. It's not about the relentless drive. It's not about that pressure and restlessness, the anxiety that you feel about getting to that quota, getting to that place. It's about remembering and resting and knowing that I'm your God and I'm in control. In Exodus, as the story continues, there's a great way that God moves the people's thinking from the thinking about bricks to something that's just as concrete but more miraculous. And it's bread. Because the people, when they leave the world of the gods of demand and bricks, they get out into this world and they don't know, how are we going to do it without just working every day and having them, how are we going to eat? What's it going to look like? And God says, every day there will be bread. Every day when you wake up, there will be bread. I can provide for you. Every day there will be bread. And on the sixth day, there'll be two helpings of bread. So that on the seventh day you can rest and there'll still be bread. part of what God is saying in the Sabbath is for us to remember that our God is a God that provides. Our God is a God whose control of creation provides us with bread. It's not about the bricks. It's not about what we do, what we produce. It's about God being in control and God being ready to give us bread and to give us rest. And Jesus, I think, picks up on this. That's what those little small words in Matthew picks right up on what the God of Sabbath says to us. And as, when he goes around calling people in his life and ministry, he's calling them to rest. Calling them to say, I know that you're under this heavy burden. I know that the political system, the economic system, everything that's going on in your life, the religious system has got you under this weight. But I'm calling you to take that off and follow me. Put on my yoke, for it's light. My burden is easy, and I will give you rest for your soul. Now, admittedly, still find it hard to think about how I'm going to do it. I know it's true, but it's still hard to think about how you do it. I think that's where, if you look at all of the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath command comes at this crucial turning point. For the first three are all about our devotion to God, our looking to God, and our remembering who God is and how God is for us. And the Sabbath has a piece of that too. It asks us to remember that God is the God of creation, God that provides the bread, God who is in control of everything. But it also is a time for us to start to turn to think about those who are having Sabbath with us. For it says that all the people of the community, the sons and daughters, the slaves, male and female, the ox, even the animals get to take a break on the Sabbath. And even the foreigners who are among you, have them all rest. So when it comes to those other commands that we're kind of familiar with, do not murder, do not commit adultery, and all of those are based in the fact that all of these people take a day all together and rest. Remember whose they are. Remember who's in control. Because if you don't do that, it's so easy to get caught up in the grind and get caught up in a place where you covet what your neighbor has. Covet your neighbor's oxen. Where your life can just get out of control and leads to violence and all kinds of things that the Lord asks us not to do. But if we start with the Sabbath, if we start the way the Ten Commandments begin with this time when we come together, because what God is doing in the Sabbath command is calling together a tribe of resistance, a tribe that joins together and rests together, hears God's story, remembers who God is, and says, I don't have to worry about the bricks. We don't have to worry about the bricks. Our God is in control. We can figure out together how to rest, how to resist that world that leads us into anxiety and restlessness and just burdens us down. We together in this place can rest, remember, and imagine what it's like to live as God intends us to. So I may not have a clear picture of how we make the race different, how we run it differently, but I think this right here, at least this hour, is a great place to start. Because it is the place where we get to sing and remember. Someone fell down back there, but I think they're okay. Sorry. All right. Okay. Reverse that. All right. We're back to where we were. But here in this place, for this hour at least, we get to come together. We get to remember who's in control. We get to sing about how it's better to just have one day in God's court, right? I mean, I can feel that when I sing that song, and I can remember, and I can feel it in my bones that's right. Even if it doesn't always last all the way out, but I can feel it at that time. And if we continue to keep coming together, keep remembering who's in control, that our God wants us to rest, maybe we can start to imagine together what that looks like. And maybe we can together commit to making it a reality in each other's lives. How can we help each other be a Sabbath people? How can we be a place like when we pray together that we can come and lay our burdens down? And I think that's part of the story was so great, because what Jesus is doing, what he's calling that community together to be a people to have rest for their soul, he's saying, come together, lay your burdens down, and these people around you will help you carry them. By my Spirit within them, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, calls us here to lay our burdens down and calls us here so that we can help carry them. May it be so. Let us pray. God of Sabbath rest, we thank you for this time that you've called us in. Thank you for this time that for a brief moment you desire to hear, for us to hear that you are in control, that you desire to give us rest and peace. May we hear it, and may you give us the power and the Spirit to live it out. In Jesus' name.